With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump was there.
Hello, Georgia, by the way. There's no way we lost Georgia. There's no way.
As was President-elect Biden.
This is not hyperbole. You can change America.
Both men campaigning for their party's candidates yesterday and today's two Senate runoff elections in Georgia. The outcome will determine which party controls the upper house of Congress for the coming 2 years.
The president urged Republicans to vote in Tuesday's Senate runoffs, but he also complained about the 2020 election. He told supporters here in Georgia that he won in a landslide and that the results were rigged against him. Mr. Trump thanked some of the GOP lawmakers who planned to object to the Electoral College votes on Wednesday and said he hopes Vice President Pence comes through for us. Greg Clugston with the president in Dalton, Georgia.
Also at SRNnews.com, add New York to a list of states where a new strain of the coronavirus has been confirmed.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says he expects the variant to spread quickly and says a laboratory in the state can produce faster testing than the federal facilities. Cuomo's also pushing hospitals to distribute vaccines more quickly than they have been, threatening fines if they don't. Cases of the COVID variant have also been detected in Colorado, California, and Florida.
Correspondent Jackie Quinn says the New York patient is a man in his 60s who works at a jewelry store in Saratoga Springs. While he does have symptoms, he is said to be recovering. The rapid spread of the coronavirus variant in the UK has prompted the reimposition of a nationwide lockdown. It will last for at least 6 weeks. In the U.S., more than 180,000 new infections were confirmed yesterday. Checking Wall Street now, Dow futures are down 62 points. NASDAQ futures off 2. S&P futures down 2 points as well. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. It was unnecessary, expensive, secretive, and there ought to be a law to make sure it never happens again. Those are the basics of a report about the botched attempt by former JEA officials to sell the utility. The report from a special committee of the Jacksonville City Council runs well over 100 pages and was released yesterday. A drive-by shooting has authorities looking for help and answers. Yesterday on Watermill and Argyle Forest Boulevards in Jacksonville, police say a teenager was hit. He should be okay, but if you know anything about this, call Crime Stoppers. It's not likely you'll be able to get a COVID shot this week, but you might be able to make an appointment for one this week. The Florida Department of Health in Duval County says they'll be accepting new appointments online this and every Thursday afternoon at 5. People ages 65 and up and healthcare workers have started getting their shots at the Prime Osborne Center. More than 64,000 COVID cases have been reported in Duval County. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Financial issues plague us all, especially in these uncertain times. Dan Celia helps us navigate these difficult financial times every weekday from 9 till noon on AM 600 WBOB. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
As always, our usual light traffic on JTB headed east, right between Hodges and San Pablo. It's starting to slow down even more than earlier, so add about 5 or 6 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Plenty of sunshine today, 67 the high, clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. House Democrats put in new rules that will remove gender language in proposed legislation. A new poll finds most voters think $600 coronavirus relief checks are too little. And today is the big day as both sides look to boost turnout for Georgia's special election.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB. By calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Coming up on 8:04, good Tuesday morning. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, good to be back. Thank you again to you, Matt Schellenberg, our good friend, for besides Roger. Ron Davis, man.
Yeah, Ron Davis basically held it down when when you were out, you know, having fun. I said on the air that you work hard, but you play harder.
Yeah, out there doing some hunting and getting bronchitis at 28 degree weather. I mean, my doc goes, why are you out hunting? I'm like, is there a... No, I'm like, no, doc, I just took a couple days off. But anyway,
yeah.
4 days straight in Perry, Florida, 20 and 30 degree weather. We'll catch up with you. Anyway, so just a little bit of bronchitis. But anyway, hey, it's good to have everybody here. 5 minutes after 8 a.m. So thankful to all of you that tuned in. 831-0600. A lot of emails coming in. We took some calls hour number one. For those of you just tuning in before we get to the news, the spin is already taking place. OMG, President Trump comes out last night and did the thing that he was supposed to do, of course, to talk about Loeffler and, of course, to talk about Purdue. Some people say that it was too much about himself. So we'll see what happens, whether or not this has a negative or direct effect on the Republican senatorial candidates today. Democrat U.S. Senate candidate Raphael Warnock has been run against him by the Loeffler campaign for comments like this.
More than a third of the nation that would go along with this is reason to be afraid. America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness on full display.
For its worship of whiteness. Some people think that the phone call by President Trump to the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, may hurt Republicans today in Georgia.
Sources tell Fox News that 18 previous times President Trump tried to connect with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. When he finally did get a phone call, it blew up into yet another presidential-sized controversy. For weeks, President Trump had been ripping Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. So when Raffensperger finally agreed to take the president's call, he had it recorded. When President Trump again ripped Raffensperger the next day, saying he has no clue, the recording was leaked to the Washington Post. An attorney for President Trump today said that the phone call was not to pressure Raffensperger to open or at least to overturn the results of the election in Georgia. It was merely to try to settle two outstanding lawsuits.
That is Fox News' John Roberts. Here's part of the phone call that the president made to the Georgia Secretary of State over the weekend.
I just want to find 11,780.
That's all.
Yeah, which is one more that we have because we won the state. So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. The people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard, and they are removing machinery. And they're moving it as fast as they can, both of which are criminal fines.
And that's what the president said to Brad Raffensperger. Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, said that he believed that the president's phone call was to have him influence the election outcome.
I think the president wanted to speak with you directly.
Probably to see if he could influence me to change my decisions. But I'm not really making a decision. What I'm doing, I'm following the law and I'm following the facts. The numbers are the numbers, and the numbers we reported are factually correct.
But even some of the president's defenders have said that the phone call was inappropriate. Fox News senior news analyst Brett Hume.
I think it was improper what he was suggesting. It was improper that the call occurred, conducted the way it was. I think it was regrettable. And when it gets down to it, I think Raffensperger's got the facts. I think the president's facts are dubious.
So there you go. So they said that the president's facts are dubious. But if the Republicans end up winning today, the Democrats have already laid out the Monday morning quarterback. And Georgia's Stacey Abrams says it was all based on voter suppression.
When we create access to the right to vote for eligible citizens, more people participate. And Republicans do not know how to win without voter suppression as one of their tools, because voter suppression is their modus operandi.
Tomorrow is the Electoral College certification. There will be those that will oppose it. Fox Business Network Dagan McDowell says Vice President Mike Pence says he supports the opposition from members of his party opposing the certification of the Electoral College.
Vice President Mike Pence now says he welcomes a push by a group of Republican senators to challenge the election results when Congress meets to certify the Electoral College votes. Pence said in a statement that he supports the senators using their authority to raise any objections they may have. Republican senators have said they will challenge the results and call for a commission to investigate claims of election irregularities in several battleground states.
VP Pence told an audience this week in Georgia that they shall hear all the evidence.
We all got our doubts about the last election. And I want to assure you
I share the concerns of millions of Americans about voting irregularities. And I promise you, we'll have our day in Congress. We'll hear the objections. We'll hear the evidence.
Some of the members of the U.S. Senate of the GOP side, for example, Republican from Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson says, we know voting fraud happened, we just don't know to the extent.
There was fraud in this election. I don't have any doubt about that. There was fraud. We just don't know the extent. The question that follows is whether the level of fraud would alter the outcome of the election.
Other members of the GOP Senate are pushing further to disqualify and oppose the election certification. Republican from Missouri, Senator Josh Hawley.
Democrats have done this for years in order to raise concerns about election integrity. Now when Republicans, 74 million Americans, have concerns about election integrity, we're supposed to just sit down and shut up? I mean, somebody has to stand up here.
Somebody has to stand up. Even Ted Cruz has jumped on board. And in fact, Ted Cruz says that he wants to support and bring up an electoral commission for the next several days to perform an emergency audit.
An obligation to protect the integrity of the democratic system. And so this past week, I spent writing out a position and assembling a group that ultimately of 11 senators that we put out yesterday that we will together object to certification in order to force the appointment of an emergency electoral commission to perform an emergency audit of the election results to assess these claims of fraud.
But not all members of the Senate GOP are on board. And other Republicans, former Deputy White House Chief of Staff in the Bush administration and a Fox News contributor, Karl Rove, says this is nothing more than just a PR stunt.
Well, it's a PR gesture, a stunt. And we had one senator, Josh Hawley of Missouri, who said, I'm going to stop certification. That was never going to happen because the House is not going to go along with it. Another aspirant for 2024, Ted Cruz, decides, well, I've got to be in this game, so I'm going to call for an emergency commission that's going to, in the next 10 days, resolve issues that we haven't been able to resolve conclusively in the last 2 months. And that ain't going to happen because the House isn't going to go along with this. So this is sound and fury signifying little or nothing, and it's not going to resolve the issue.
Rove also asked the question, what's an electoral commission going to be able to find out before January the 20th?
Even if there were a commission, who thinks that these questions are going to be able to be resolved in 10 days, which is what this is calling for? The President of the United States is under the law and under the Constitution to be sworn in on January 20th.
So the bottom line is tomorrow at 1 o'clock, all this is supposed to happen and take place. I'm going to be watching it. It's going to be entertaining, but it's not going to change anything.
Huge civic lessons for the American people. We usually don't see coverage of, you know, certification of the Electoral College. We will this time around. I'm going to record it and just to see how interesting it could be. Maybe some fireworks. You know, we've got about a dozen U.S. senators say they're going to oppose it. Over 100 members of the House of Representatives.
Yep.
And there was fraud. And in fact, even the people in Georgia, the Secretary of State says, yeah, we did have some ballots that came in.
But not accurate. To the amount that they proclaimed.
But they were two, not 10,000.
Yeah. By the way, I always love playing clips from those of the liberal left calling out members of their own group. Here's Mika Brzezinski, co-host of Morning Joe from MSNBC, points out that, because all the Democrats are saying, well, the Republicans have no right to oppose it. Well, wait a second. 2001, 2005, and 2017, the Democrats did the same thing.
The last three times a Republican has been elected president, Democrats in the House have brought objections to the electoral votes in states the Republican nominee won. In 2005, Senator Barbara Boxer of California lent Senate support to the move when she objected to George W. Bush's electoral votes in Ohio, citing voting irregularities in the state. The move was praised at the time, including by Senator Dick Durbin.
So there you go. So there is hypocrisy. I mean, by all means, do it, have it. I stand by what I said. I like Josh Hawley. I like Ted Cruz. The reason why they're doing it, because they both want to run for 2024.
Yeah, and there's
it's that simple.
Huge number of Trump supporters. They want to inherit that base to support them.
Your call is coming up next. 831-0600. Talk radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Some stop-and-go traffic on I-10 headed east, right between Lane Avenue and Nelson Street. Add an extra 7 minutes, and if you see anything that'll help your friends stay safe, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Plenty of sunshine today. 67 the high. Clear tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 38 degrees.
K
Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence. They rescue and train shelter dogs to be paired as service dogs for warriors with service-connected post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and/or military sexual trauma. Join their mission and be a part of their 2020 campaign to reduce the veteran suicide rate of 20 a day, because 20 is a name, not a number. Learn more at caninesforwarriors.org.
Roger McGuinn is coming to the Thrasher Horn Center. Roger McGuinn, lead singer and founder of The Byrds, one of the most iconic groups in rock and roll history. Don't miss Roger McGuinn, January 16th at the Thrasher Horn Center in Orange Park. For tickets and info, visit thcenter.org. That's thcenter.org.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Start the new year with a new language. Get up to 60% off now at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor, for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 152-6479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new poll finds most voters think $600 coronavirus relief checks are too little. Today is the big day in Georgia as both sides look to boost turnout in the Peach State's special election. And while some Republican senators plan to object to tomorrow's Electoral College certification, other Senate Republicans say they are not on board.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, by the way, before I get to the calls at 831-0600, 904-831-0600, I wanted to play this. Remember the gender-neutral language that the House wants to remove? Remember the prayer by Emmanuel Cleaver? Listen to this.
May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families. Peace across this land. And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
Absolutely creepy. So before I take the calls, right, at 904-831-0600, I was having a little fun this morning. Love to hear from you on this. Mm-hmm. Got some interesting emails.
He has a doctor in divinity, by the way. What in the world?
Interesting. What college did he go to?
St. Paul School of Theology.
I was joking on that. So here's the question. You remember how political words you can't use anymore, like the word master bedroom because it sounds like it's racist or whatever? Here's the question. I was asking, what gender neutral term, what gender referral, like man or woman, what now are we going to have to eliminate? Where now it has to become gender neutral.
Yeah.
Emily, our researcher, just sent me something.
Okay.
It's no longer a mask mandate.
Oh.
Mandate?
Yeah. They date.
Yeah, a mask, they date.
What would you call that, though?
yeah.
Requirement? Because, man, you know, you can't have that in there.
Yeah, man.
It makes
Come on, man. I guess Biden can't say that anymore.
Makes the transgender community feel excluded.
Transgender community, I love all this. Let's go to Brian. Hey, B, what's up?
Hey, in reference to that pastor, or I'm sorry, that representative, he is a pastor in the United Methodist Church. And for anybody in your listening audience who is United Methodist, I strongly consider them to look up the Wesleyan Covenant Association. So just wanted to put that sad point out there that it's a sad day that that's a credential pastor in a large denomination.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, and then, I don't know if you call it the Brahma, but the
monotheistic god
of Brahma, which is a Hindu polytheistic god. So, whew, yeah, good one there. But, hey, just wanted to – I know, you know, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley are showboating. I understand it might be a little late, or it is late. However, thank God that they're doing something that can get something on it. I mean, the judges chickened out to – look into anything that would allow investigations to occur. So hopefully this can lead to something in terms of a commission that can, you know, claw in, find out, and state houses can enact laws over the next 2 years to do what we can to prevent, you know, irregularities from happening again.
Yeah, I don't see a problem, B, by them opposing the certification, bring all this stuff out. Cruz's electoral commission. I mean, Roger and I were talking about this in hour number one. Why didn't you have this like 2 months ago? I mean,
yeah.
But I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't have a problem with seeing this. It's funny as you listen to somebody's far out there podcast, they think, you know, all these guys are talking about the Kraken and that there was going to be an insurrection. And then after January 6th, the only other date that really matters is January 20th, and I don't know what they think is going to happen between now and then.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is everybody's like, oh, well, that's what the courts are for. So, you know, Trump had to go and send his team in and get struck down in all those courts, I guess, before, you know, a congressional investigation would be warranted, I mean, in fairness to the facts. But, Biden's going to be sworn in. We know that. But I sure as heck hope something happens, because I think the biggest sin in all this is how no one wants to scratch, because I know they're afraid of what they're going to find. That's my theory.
Interesting. Well, I'm all for them keeping the investigations going, like a 9/11 commission, you know?
Right. And hopefully the states can enact something to stop this crap.
That's right.
Have a good one, man.
All right, brother. I mean, Raj?
Yeah, and even if there is not a federal investigation, which, to be frank with you, I can't imagine a Biden administration wanting to get behind that. The individual states can do their own investigations, and if the states don't do it, there can at least be, you know, Freedom of Information Act requests, maybe some media organization can look into it.
Here's the problem. First off, if Biden did this, it would be, and I'm no Biden fan, it would be brilliant, just on the surface.
Okay.
Having said that, I don't see him doing it, to your point. Having said this, 4 years ago, we were told that the Russians hacked the election. Trump told us that he lost by 3 million votes, and he said, well, there were 3 million illegal. Well, first off, he supposedly was going to have a commission take a look at that. They didn't find anything about that.
Right.
So what I'm getting at is, we've talked about this before. If Republicans win, but we know there's fraudulent votes, or we know there's irregularities. Remember, illegal voting is not all fraud. Remember how we talked about this. If you got a ballot and you postmarked it past the date, you send it in past the date you're supposed to send it in.
Yeah.
Are you committing fraud? Excuse me. Are you committing fraud? No, probably not. It's the intent.
Right.
You just want, but it's an illegal vote if you count it. I'm not saying it's fraudulent, it's an illegal vote. And what happens is that, well, Republicans win, I'll leave Brenda Snipes until Governor DeSantis gets in and gets rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And That's why I've been consistent in saying if we're going to do investigations, let's still do Florida. Let's do North Carolina where Trump won.
But should Georgia have to do another one? They've already done three.
No, I'm talking like a commission.
Okay.
You know.
What further can they find? I mean, they've already, the Republican, you know, people running the elections there, they already said that we haven't found anything after three, you know, investigations, recounts, audits.
You know, the Trump campaign has raised millions upon millions of dollars. Maybe what they should do is use a lot of those millions to continue the investigations. Joe Biden's going to become president, folks. Some of you are in denial about that. It's going to happen. Whether you and I are here today or tomorrow, it's not going to matter. There will be a January 20th. Joe Biden will get sworn in. I don't like it. But the embarrassing part is all of these conspiracies out there about Biden this and Biden that, Dominion voting machines, when we know where there's areas to look at. And that's the reason why we need to continue to look at these things even after Biden gets sworn in. More of your calls coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
There's an accident on 295 headed north right before the Buckman Bridge that has a left lane blocked and is causing some light traffic. Add about 4 or 5 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Lots of sunshine today, and we'll have a high of about 68. This evening, clear with a low of 40. Currently, it is 40 degrees.
As an investor, what do you get from a discount broker or mutual fund? Not much. But if you're seeking planning, financial architecture, direction, and personal interaction, we're a fee-based, independent, credentialed financial advisor. We're Capital Dimensions Wealth Management, a 15-year-old Jacksonville-based firm that performs in-depth analysis and then on-site interviews with companies globally before investing our clients' money. If we can help you in your quest for financial independence, contact us at 730-3877 or drop by our office on University Boulevard. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hangar Bay Cafe is your veteran and locally owned restaurant at the beach, 2294 Mayport Road. Hangar Bay Cafe has something for everyone, lunch and dinner, on the go or dine in. Hangar Bay is famous for their ramen, and fried chicken Southern Living says is the best in Florida. Plus sandwiches like the bourbon teriyaki, spicy sausage, or spicy Cajun po' boy. Hangar Bay Cafe, open 7 days a week, 2294 Mayport Road, online at hangarbaycafe.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Are you having difficulty paying your IRS personal or business taxes due to COVID-19? If you owe a tax debt, there has never been a better time than now to get a resolution. The IRS has rolled out historic tax debt removal guidelines under their Taxpayer Relief Initiative. This COVID-19 program provides opportunities to remove or lessen your tax burden that weren't previously available. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville and are experts at negotiating with the IRS. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Never trust your tax situation to anyone that's not local to you. We've helped thousands of Floridians to overcome IRS and sales tax debt. Let us help you. Call J. David Tax Law today for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Coming up next, the final report, at least by the city of Jacksonville, as of now, on JEA. The thing is, there isn't anything new that we've already haven't already discussed and talked about. Question is what did the mayor know about it? And is there any fraud, any criminal investigation that could come place due to an investigation by the FBI? We'll talk about a lot of that coming up next right here. Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump was there, as was President-elect Biden. Both men campaigning for their party's candidates yesterday in today's two Senate runoff elections in Georgia. The outcome will determine which party controls the Senate for the coming 2 years. Add New York to the list of states where a new strain of the coronavirus has been confirmed. The New York patient, a man in his 60s, works at a jewelry store in Saratoga Springs. While he does have symptoms, he is said to be recovering. The rapid spread of the coronavirus variant in the UK has prompted the reimposition of a nationwide lockdown, expected to last for at least 6 weeks. In the U.S., more than 180,000 new infections were confirmed yesterday. Wall Street, the Dow futures down 44 points, NASDAQ futures 49 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. Two former Jacksonville City Council members who've been given prison time will actually be going to prison. Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown, no relation, were given 33 and 18-month sentences, respectively, after being convicted on federal fraud charges. They were hoping to stay out of prison pending their appeals, but a judge has nixed that idea. It's highly unlikely you'll be able to get vaccinated against the coronavirus this week, unless you already have an appointment, but you might be able to make an appointment this week. The Florida Department of Health in Duval County says they'll be accepting new appointments online this and every Thursday afternoon at 5. It should never have happened, and there ought to be a law to make sure it never happens again. Those are the basics of a report about the botched attempt by former JEA officials to sell the utility. The report from a special committee of the Jacksonville City Council runs well over 100 pages and was released yesterday. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
WBOB welcomes the new talk show, The Charlie Kirk Show, every Monday through Friday from noon till 1.
My name is Charlie Kirk. I run the largest pro-American student organization in the country, Turning Point USA, fighting for the future of our republic. This election is a decision between preserving America as we know it and eliminating everything that we love.
Charlie Kirk, Monday through Friday, noon till 1 on AM 600 WBOB and FM 101.1. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
There's an accident on 295 headed north right before the Buckman Bridge that has a left lane blocked and is causing some light traffic. Add about 4 or 5 extra minutes, and if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Lots of sunshine today with a high of 68. This evening clear with a low of 41. Right now, 42 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Today is the big day as both sides look to boost turnout for Georgia's special election. While some Republican senators plan to object to tomorrow's Electoral College certification, other Senate Republicans say they are not on board. And Governor Ron DeSantis rolls out plans to boost vaccination numbers for elderly Floridians.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, 33 minutes after 8 a.m. Good to have everybody with us. Good to be back. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Amen. Oh, wait, a woman? a moron, you know? Bottom line, this whole nonsense about the political correctness, I didn't think, listen, Roger said something early is exactly correct. Whoever are the script writers for the liberal left, mm-hmm. I want to hire them. It is incredible. I must say, I don't agree with them, but it's incredible mm-hmm. the amazing amount of spin that they bring up. For example, Fox News, Mike Emanuel points out, new House rules mm-hmm. no longer refer to man, woman, granddad, grandma, no papa, yeah. no mama. It's got to be grandparent.
They don't even want kids calling their dads mom and dad anymore.
Yeah.
The Democrat-led House kicked off the 117th Congress with new rules removing gender. Strike chairman and insert chair. Strike father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, father-in-law or mother-in-law, and insert parent, child, sibling, spouse, or parent-in-law. And then strike himself or herself and insert themselves.
Can I ask a question? Because I've been trying to think about this all morning. Many of you have been emailing. We're having a little fun about what names do we have to get rid of now that refer to a gender. Like, for example, if I'm at the grocery store, do I know Colin Longer a bag boy? Bagger?
Bagger, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Probably.
Doctor? I mean, nurse? That's generic, right?
That's generic. Yeah, they're male nurses.
Here's more. Listen to this one. Trace Gallagher from Fox News.
As Speaker Nancy Pelosi tries to ban any words referring to gender like man, mother, or grandfather. Father, mother has to be parent. Daughter, son, child. Brother, sister, sibling. Aunt, uncle, parents, sibling.
Ah. Interesting. I still like
That's
this
creative.
One.
May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us and give us peace. Peace in our families. Peace across this land. And dare I ask, O Lord, peace even in this chamber, now and evermore. We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths.
I'm laughing.
A man and a woman.
Really?
I think it's sad.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How so?
It seems like, you know, this guy who's got a doctorate degree in divinity, you know, is confused about his faith. Extremely. I mean, amen has nothing to do with a man.
I know.
It's a Hebrew word that means so be it.
I've always been curious. Who gets to control the English language? Who gets to pick and choose or determine what pronouns or nouns or adjectives do you deem to be unworthy? You get what I'm saying? Yeah. I know people have used and misused words.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is
I think whoever's saying the word, you know, at the time, then they get to choose those words. You know, that's other than that, it's political correctness to some extent.
Hey, speaking about stereotype, here is Ryan Rep. He is with Brownell's Gun Manufacturer. Listen to this. He says that the typical gun individual that buys a boatload of guns is no longer buying a boatload of guns. In other words, what he's saying is the stereotype of a gun owner hasn't taken place since out of 2020. 8 million individuals, brand new, have been buying weapons. Number two has been women. Number one, those in the black community. Here's a clip.
The NSSF is estimating at about 8 million new gun owners, and they just don't fit the caricature of what many would consider to be the average gun owner. You know, based on our sales, if we compare that to NSSF data, you know, we're seeing a lot more guns going to urban areas.
Right.
About 40% of new gun owners are actually women, and African Americans are buying it. They're the largest growing group at 58% up year over year.
So those in the black community, Roger, are the biggest group of individuals. Now, we talked about this. This has been going on since that of 2020.
8 million first-time gun buyers. That's a lot of people.
Almost 60% of those in the black community. What are women buying?
What about the guns that women are buying? Are they mainly, primarily pistols or some long guns?
Yeah, women are buying pistols, self-defense pistols, but that's the hottest category. Pistols are by and large the lion's share of that, followed by shotguns and your AR-15 type of weapon.
So there you go. The women, they say the women are buying the handguns.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, it's amazing that a lot of the liberal left, if, for example, here in Florida, wants to ban rifles. Remember, they tried to get it on the ballot. Like, for example, Roger, I got a couple semi-automatic 22 rifles. This is something your dad took you out when you were a young kid. You shoot squirrels, you can shoot whatever with them, but it's pow, pow, semi-automatic.
Okay.
It's pretty, well, no gun's harmless. I'm just telling you, the individual's what causes the problem.
You don't have to pull back the hammer first.
You just pull it back, but what I'm saying is it's something that's been around for so many years.
Right.
That would be deemed as an assault weapon if the liberal left wanted to get their way. What I'm getting at is that it's always assault rifles, but yet there are more handguns that commit crimes than there are rifles. Here's head of the Brady Group, the big pro-gun control crowd out there. Here's Chris Brown. She says, hey, to all of you conservatives out there, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are here to stop and prevent gun violence. They are not going to confiscate your guns.
We've never, ever had a president of the United States and a vice president of the United States who embrace gun violence prevention and public health solutions to gun violence in the manner that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do. And we look forward to embracing solutions all of America wants. And it's not going to involve the confiscation or the removal of a single gun from any household in America. I guarantee.
You know, we covered the Georgia race quite a bit.
Right.
One issue that we noticed that didn't happen in the general election that really you didn't see anything happen in Georgia was the issue of guns, did you?
Right. And I've talked to the friends about this. I believe that the campaigns where they talk about it's focus group driven, and it just may not be something that they thought would be beneficial to their campaigns to talk about, you know? And
yeah, they know what the polls are. They don't talk exactly about that in Georgia. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the issue, what could be the biggest issue in 2021? So there's a group of political researchers and business groups out there, but mostly political researchers. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Number three is going to be the climate. Number two is COVID. I thought COVID would be a top tier issue. No. According to some of the groups out there, by CBS News here, America's 2021 biggest threat is political partisanship against Joe Biden.
A new annual report released this morning reveals the top global risks for 2021. Every year, Eurasia Group, that's a political risk research and consulting firm, ranks the top 10 geopolitical risks that we are likely to face in the new year. And the report says, let's go in reverse order. The third greatest risk is climate change. The second is the long-term effects of the coronavirus pandemic.
Right.
And it says that the greatest risk is political polarization right here in America and the ways it could affect Joe Biden's presidency.
Really? So the greatest risk against Trump
right
wasn't the media,
right,
wasn't political partisanship, because it's just gotten as bad, but it's been that way for the last many years.
Right.
Here's Bill O'Reilly, radio and TV host. He says if anything goes south, hey, the media's got Joe's back. Anything goes south, we'll just blame Trump.
And then the news agencies are going to go, Joe's great. Whatever Joe does is the best. And if Joe screws up, guess whose fault it's going to be?
Yep.
Trump's.
Yep.
If the economy goes south, Trump did it. All right. If COVID sweeps over despite the vaccine, Trump did it. Whatever bad happens in America the next 3 years, because then the presidential campaign will start again, it's going to be Trump's fault.
That's right. It's going to be Trump's fault. The final report, I don't know, could there be more? But the city commission, Jacksonville City Council, had its own investigation committee out there that pretty much came out and released yesterday a 132-page report that many of us already knew about, that we didn't know what was going on with all of the JEA sale. The public had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. The sale plan lacked transparency, and the mayor really didn't have any clue of what was going on. Here's the latest with that story. Here's News 4 Jax.
A new report into the bungled JEA sale uncovers what it calls intentional misrepresentation, or in other words, lies, by those who are in charge of JEA. It points out the mayor's role in the attempted sale and how senior staff at JEA would have made millions if the sale went through.
The report goes into details of the backroom negotiations with JEA upper management, and it's linked to the mayor's office on pushing for the sale of JEA. It doesn't look into any criminal behavior, but questions how the city got to the point of almost selling its biggest asset and how JEA management would have profited significantly. The report says the committee interviewed dozens of witnesses and pored over 600,000 pages of documents. In its conclusion, the report says they only looked at legislative matters and will let the Department of Justice handle criminal issues. As for Mayor Curry, he didn't put much stock into the report.
Again, that is News 4 Jax. Mayor Curry said that he'd heard the report was out, but was not happy that it was made public before he could review it. But the mayor told reporters yesterday, hey, I've been open with all of you guys over the last couple of years on this issue.
But when we asked specifically if he or any members of his administration had been interviewed by the feds, and Mayor Lenny Curry wouldn't give us a simple yes or no. The mayor tells us he supports the city and federal probes into JEA and that its handling of the failed sale attempt. Mayor Curry has been at times critical of the media and its reporting of the controversies surrounding JEA.
That is from Action News. Jax, I'm always curious about this story that as much as years that we've both been members of the media, we can always complain against them. I've just been, I mean, on this issue, where has the media been off on the issue? Where they've been wrong on the issue of JEA? I thought they've done a pretty good job.
I think they've done a very good job. You know, honestly, you know, there was denials that I was, you know, that the mayor wanted to be involved with it. Big controversy. You remember the mayor's reelection campaign with Ana Lopez Brochet. She said, no, he's pushing it. He says, no, she's a liar. And this went back and forth. And this report may bring light to some of this.
Right. The issue today in Georgia, whether or not the Republicans are going to be able to maintain the U.S. Senate Some people are linking a phone call. I don't think the phone call is damaging to the Republicans if they lose. But President Trump had made a phone call to Georgia's Secretary of State over the weekend and asked Georgia's Secretary of State if they could possibly find some more votes. Fox News' John Roberts.
Sources tell Fox News that 18 previous times President Trump tried to connect with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. When he finally did get a phone call, it blew up into yet another presidential-sized controversy. For weeks, President Trump had been ripping Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. So when Raffensperger finally agreed to take the president's call, he had it recorded. When President Trump again ripped Raffensperger the next day, saying he has no clue, the recording was leaked to the Washington Post. An attorney for President Trump today said that the phone call was not to pressure Raffensperger to open or at least to overturn the results of the election in Georgia. It was merely to try to settle two outstanding lawsuits.
Here's parts of that phone call that the president made and said to the Georgia Secretary of State.
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state. So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this. The people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard. And they are removing machinery, and they're moving it as fast as they can. Both of which are criminal fines.
Now, Brad Raffensperger says that the president's accusations are wrong. He says that the president believed that he believed that the president's phone call was to influence the election outcome.
Why do you think the president wanted to speak with you directly?
Probably to see if he could influence me to change my decisions. But I'm not really making a decision. What I'm doing, I'm following the law and I'm following the facts. The numbers are the numbers, and the numbers we reported are factually correct.
Now, last night I'm watching some of the conservatives talking about this.
Okay.
Why did Raffensperger, why did they record this? Number two, why was it leaked days before or just the day before the election? Well, first off, it only happened on Saturday.
Right.
So when are you going to not leak it? Or right. When are you going to leak it?
And if they'd recorded it and held off, they'll say, okay, that was trying to influence
right.
the election for Republicans.
Now, the legality, I get it all. But follow me, set aside the legality for a second. Was Raffensperger, who's been all over the map, said, I think one report said he didn't speak to the president, and then he did speak to the president. It was about an hour. I listened to the tape twice.
Mm-hmm.
It was mostly just Trump and, you know. But anyway,
it's got to be a very uncomfortable conversation for Raffensperger to even be in.
Well, first off, I don't know why the president's calling.
He's calling you for an hour to try to tell you, you know, that your results are wrong. And
yeah, but here's the other thing about it: if you're Raffensperger, mm-hmm. forget about the legality for a second. Would you not want to record this? I mean, just follow me for a second, folks. Mm-hmm. If the president's been beating you up, for example, mm-hmm. for the last 2 months, calling you a fraud, calling you a fake. You've got Linwood and others out there calling you treasonous, that you guys need to go to jail. That's what they've said. Mm-hmm. Not the president, but some of those that talk about supporting the president. Guess what? It's my word against his. I would probably record it too.
Right.
Just to defend myself. And by the way, we know that there have been stories against the president that have not been accurate. Oh, we've got tape. And no, you haven't. You know, the president said this. No, you didn't have it. But if I'm Raffensperger, would it be wise to record that because of based on what the president said?
If it's legal to do, I cannot fault him for wanting to document some of the things that were said, especially if he felt pressured to change the results.
Yeah.
I think it was improper what he was suggesting. It was improper that the call occurred, conducted the way it was. I think it was regrettable. And when it gets down to it, I think Raffensperger's got the facts. I think the president's facts are dubious.
So the question is tomorrow morning, and I'm not convinced we may not know a final winner tomorrow if the election's that close. I think both sides may end up contesting it with the lawyers, depending on what the turnout may be. 49 minutes after 8 a.m., Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Roads are looking pretty good for the most part, but we do have some light traffic on Phillips Highway headed north right before 295. Add an extra few minutes, and if there's anything you see, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Lots of sunshine today with a high of 68. This evening clear with a low of 41. Right now, 42 degrees.
America's Everglades. The water supply for more than 8 million Floridians. World-class sports fishing. Magnificent birds and wildlife unique to this region. But the Everglades today is on life support. You can help save it. Text the word WATER to 52886 and tell your Congress how much America's Everglades means to you.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying the first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Things before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It was not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, look.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
Colds, flu, and viruses equal germs and bacteria. Fight all of these with a Lampergée lamp, invented in 1898 specifically for use in hospitals to kill germs by purifying the air. Every doctor's office, daycare, and cancer center, wherever people gather, should be using a Lampergée lamp on a daily basis. Sprays and plug-ins are not the answer for killing germs. Lampergée is. Annabelle's of Orange Park is your most knowledgeable Lampergée dealer. Annabelle's, 904-272-5544.
Make someone's day with a little help from Kuhn Flowers. Fresh flowers have a way of adding that extra bit of beauty to your home. They're also a great way to brighten someone's day. And what better way is there to show someone just how much you care than with a fresh bouquet of flowers? One thing's for sure, when you order flowers from Kuhn Flowers, they're the brightest, most colorful, professionally arranged, long-lasting floral arrangements available. Call Kuhn Flowers today, 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or you can shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com. Kuhn Flowers, making memories since 1946.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis rolls out plans to boost vaccination numbers for elderly Floridians. House Democrats put in new rules that will remove gender language in proposed legislation. And a new poll finds most voters think $600 coronavirus relief checks are too little.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Vice President Mike Pence now says he welcomes a push by a group of Republican senators to challenge the election results when Congress meets to certify the Electoral College votes. Pence said in a statement that he supports the senators using their authority to raise any objections they may have. Republican senators have said they will challenge the results and call for a commission to investigate claims of election irregularities in several battleground states.
That's from the Fox Business Network, Dagan McDowell. Mm. So tomorrow, the fireworks is going to begin, I think, around 1 o'clock.
Okay.
To see, by the way, there's like over 100, I think, what, congressional Republicans?
Yeah, 100, around, I think it was like 130, somewhere around there. And then
there's only like, what, 14 maybe?
Yeah, 14 U.S. senators who say they're going to oppose it. But still, you know, you still have an overwhelming majority who say they're going to certify.
Yeah. Let's go to my man, Phil. Happy New Year, bro.
Well, Team Reality, welcome back. Give your fill-ins a bonus. They did well.
Yeah, and they did. Thank you.
Great idea, Phil.
You can never, and Roger gets, I think, a $3,000 a week bonus.
Thank you.
He really kept it together. You had your regular callers. I had to have some surgery, so I didn't call every day, but I did. And I just have one question, and I'll leave you alone for today. Did you get a 12-pointer?
No.
No, don't say that. You could have kind of made up a story. But, yeah, you and I don't. So that's why you and I, Roger, get along so well. And guess what's that urban beam in your name?
All right, I appreciate it.
Mr. Ed and Mr. Roger and group. Okay, so anytime you go pick it up.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Phil.
Yeah, so I had a couple emails. People go, hey, Ed, we got brought, we thought we had the vid. I'm like, no, I got tested. I was fine. I just I went out hunting in 20 degree weather.
That's what happened.
And I went back at night, and so I went to go see the doctor.
So you didn't, you didn't camp out. You didn't, like, pitch a tent and spend the night in the woods.
He goes, at least you should have gone, like, in the afternoon when it would have been warmer.
Okay.
So I got myself a big old hog, well, 100-pound hog, I guess. But anyway, so no, I there were some bucks that were, like,
I saw pictures of you with a couple of bucks, though. Were those old pictures?
Yeah, no, some of the bucks. No, it was a couple dollar bills I had up there, right?
Oh, I see.
No, no, the other bucks up there I wasn't going to shoot. They weren't big ones out there. So I just once a year when I go out hunting over the holidays, I usually come back and catch a little bit of not the COVID, but bronchitis. So
yeah, you've been coughing off the air a lot, so. Anyway, we're in separate.
Thanks for telling everybody that, Roger. Now I'm all worried I got COVID, which I don't. I just got bronchitis. The doc's already tested me. He goes, dude, he goes, enough of the 25 degree weather hunting in Perry, Florida. So 855 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Roads are looking pretty good for the most part, but we do have some light traffic on Phillips Highway headed north right before 295. Add an extra few minutes, and if there's anything you see, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Today we'll see plenty of sunshine and a high of 68. Clear skies tonight with a low of 41. Right now it's 45 degrees.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
The Continental Congress established the tradition of chaplains in the House and Senate. For years, they prayed to a singular God and often in Jesus' name. That appears about to change thanks to new House rules adopted last Sunday on the opening day of the 117th Congress. They eliminate gender-specific pronouns in the name of inclusion. Representative Emanuel Cleaver, a Missouri Democrat, gave a preview of coming distractions when he prayed, quote, in the name of the monotheistic God. He then added what sounded like Brahma before finishing with, and God known by many names, by many different faiths, amen and a woman. Will the newly appointed female chaplain, a first, be required not to pray to a heavenly father, but to a heavenly person, or better yet, under new House rules, to whom it may concern? House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy calls the new rules stupid, more like insane. Do you see where this is headed? Scripture tells us the Lord is coming soon. Amen. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
All right, we got some brand new podcasts lined up for you later this morning, and it's good to have everybody back with us. I guess all the kids went back to school today, right? At least in Duval and some of the other ones.
Yeah. Time ticks.
Yeah. So anyway.
Of course, socially distance.
Yeah. Anyway. So you can always email me throughout the day, ed@wbob.com. That's ed@wbob.com. Later up this morning around 11 o'clock while some of the brand new podcasts, go to wbob.com and click on right where it says the Ed Dean Extra. So sit back. We'll have a lot of coverage for tomorrow morning to see who wins and who didn't win. And of course, Electoral College certification. We're thankful to God every day for the show and all of you. Happy New Year. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here. Talk Radio, WBOB.
AM
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville, 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruitco. Talk Radio.